Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The next case on our calendar today is A21-0049 and A21-0050 in the matter of the welfare of the child of JB and AH, and in the matter, oh, I guess they have the same name, sorry. The oral argument is being held on the Zoom platform today in accordance with pandemic related court orders. The same procedural rules apply to our Zoom oral arguments as apply to our in-person oral arguments. Each party will have 15 minutes for your initial argument, and counsel for appellant will have an additional 5 minutes for rebuttal. I'll ask that counsel please identify yourself and the party you represent at the start of your argument. And with that, counsel for appellant, you can proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. Good morning to the court, counsel. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Angela Sonsala. I represent Avon Holmes, the appellant in this matter. Mr. Holmes respectfully requests that this court reverse the district court's termination of his parental rights to his seven children. The errors by the district court in this particular case resulted in the ultimate termination of Mr. Holmes's parental rights to his seven children, based on the court making findings of fact that did not support the statutory basis that the court made the finding on. First, the county failed to provide reasonable efforts to correct the condition that led to the initial out-of-home placement. Additionally, even if this court finds that reasonable efforts were made, those efforts were not specific enough to the statutory basis upon which the court ultimately terminated Mr. Holmes's right. Also, the district court failed to make findings adequate for
Ms. Sonsala, I think you muted yourself accidentally.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know at what point that happened.
You were discussing the reasonable efforts weren't specific enough to father.
Okay, thank you. The district court failed to make reasonable efforts that were specific enough to the statutory basis for which the district court ultimately terminated father's parental rights. Additionally, as it relates to the statutory basis for which his rights were terminated, the district court failed to make specific enough findings to allow for meaningful appellate review in this file. And
can I pause you there?
Yes.
And I see your argument. There seems like there's two different arguments. One, that these facts that were found by the district court are not enough to support the decision. And the other argument, that the findings are not sufficiently particularized. I mean, this was on the second part of your argument. I mean, this was a 230 paragraph, pretty particularized set of findings. So help me to understand what more detail you think the court would need for us to be able to analyze what the court was doing.
Certainly. The court made, as Your Honor stated, many findings of fact. However, there were those findings of fact were problematic in multiple ways. One was that many of the findings simply regurgitated testimony that was provided. It didn't apply that testimony in the sense of the court making a determination as to the credibility of the testimony and which alleged facts or facts that were testified to were believed or accepted as fact by the court. Additionally,
didn't the court though make some credibility determinations on the important facts, like whether father and mother continued to live together?
The court did make determination on some of the facts that ultimately were important, but there were significant additional facts where the findings were not made that would be necessary for the court to have terminated the parental rights under the statutory basis that it did.
What other facts are those? I mean, when I look at paragraphs, I think it's like 36 through 39 in the conclusions, there's some pretty detailed credibility findings there. And then I don't disagree with you that a large portion of the district court's findings of fact are simply recounting the evidence that was submitted. What else do you think the district court needs to particularly find in order to terminate here, particularly when it did find that your client was living with mom, with the children, and her rights have been terminated?
Thank you.
That's not disputed.
That's correct. And I would concede to that that's undisputed. The facts that were necessary for the court to address that I believe are unaddressed were whether or not the county made adequate efforts, reasonable efforts to work the case plan, or in other words, to provide services to my client.
Well, let's talk about the housing services. I mean, there are findings in the 200 plus that the district court made about the efforts that were made to have terminated mom and dad separate in that residence, in that building. And there were also findings that were made that they refused to do that, notwithstanding the county repeatedly saying, move downstairs, move out, I'm gonna move out, I'm not moving out. And then there's findings that he refused to move out. So what else needs to happen here for the efforts of the county to be reasonable under these circumstances as a matter of law?
As a matter of law, the county's requirement to make reasonable efforts would have required active participation by the county agency itself. In other words, more than just telling my client, you need to move out.
Eviction?
If you don't.
Eviction? I mean, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you.
No. Aside from telling him, look, mom's a danger. Kids can't be around mom. Separate. Get the kids away. Take yourself away with the kids. What possible other service would be necessary to follow up on Judge Frisch's question to make the county's efforts reasonable? Why isn't it enough to say you need to do this and you need to do it within a certain period of time? Why isn't that enough?
I believe that that's not enough because the law requires that the county actively participate and engage. And so, for example, one way that the county could have actively participated and engaged with my client would have been to work with him in actually looking for available housing in the area. Is there a house and is there a property in the area that is, first of all, suitable to the county?
Does the record suggest there is any lack of housing, or he was unable to find it or would be unable to find it on his own? Is there any suggestion of that?
There is suggestion of that in the record, Your Honor. The record suggests that there is a lack of housing in the area, that is a rural area with very little housing available to begin with. Nonetheless, to accommodate a family of eight people.
Can you explain to me why that effort is why that would be a reasonable effort when the county took other efforts to try to separate the parties? For example, trying to find mom some alternate housing or terminated mom some alternate housing. And then also when dad says, I'm not going anywhere, essentially. I mean, what else would be reasonable for the county to do in those circumstances? And this is not a problem that I think is even unique to this particular situation. We do have a lot of parents who are facing termination that just are refusing to work with the county. And so what's reasonable under those circumstances? What does the law require when the parents say, no, I'm not gonna engage with you? What else does the county have to do?
So had the county, first of all, the record does support that Mr. Holmes did in fact engage in some of the services that the county was was quote unquote offering regarding housing. And so while he may have been resistant to it, he did in fact engage. And what I mean by that is that they did make a referral to an agency, a housing agency. Mr. Holmes did contact that agency, did go in, did follow through with an appointment, and was told that he did not qualify for their assistance or for their program. So although he may be on the one hand saying, well, I don't want to do this, ultimately when those resources and those referrals and those that assistance was provided to him, he did in fact accept it. He did in fact engage. And then when he went back to the county, to the agency and said, I've gone to this housing assistance referral that you sent me to, and I don't qualify. They can't give me services. They won't give me services because I'm not homeless. The county basically continued for months to recommend that agency as their basis for concluding that they were making reasonable efforts.
Are there any, I think the record reflects that that's really the only housing agency in the area. Is there any evidence in the record to suggest that there's another housing agency that the county should have referred him to?
There is not anything in the record that reflects that there's another housing agency or any other sort of agency help that would be available outside of the county, which would be all the more reason that the county would have needed to go use some creative steps, essentially go above and beyond just continuously saying you need to move. Actually,
The county did provide some transportation services. Wasn't that a step to assist him, giving him the ability to go out and look at rental housing? Would you agree with that?
I believe that the county provided transportation to the mother. I don't specifically recall that the record supports that transportation was provided for the father. In fact, that's one of the things that the county was repeatedly telling or relying on, was that he didn't have his own transportation and they did not proactively offer that, at least not as it relates to the issue of looking for housing. They never.
Okay. I'll go back and double check that. One other piece of the record I did want to ask you about, though, is I think that it reflects that father testified that he had experienced finding housing in the past, that he had made efforts to acquire a home in the Moorhead area. So it appears that he has experience acquiring housing, that this isn't a skill that he doesn't have, that he would, and therefore it's unclear to me why he would need the county to go with him to look at housing.
In fact, in the past, he had found housing. And again, in the Moorhead, Fargo area, as well as in other states, but those would be areas much less rural with far more options. In the Fergus Falls area, where in Otter Tail County, where father resided with these seven children and where this case occurred, everything was far more limited. And in addition to that, it's important to remember that this was going on when COVID was happening. And that was raised by father. And that is a part of the record, that with COVID, there were fewer landlords willing to rent places out. In fact, father had a particular place in mind that he did talk to one potential landlord who then said, no, I'm not renting now because of COVID. So again, things were even more restricted for father than they would be even outside of the fact that this is a rural area and he's got a very large family and a very limited income. But yes, in the past, he has been able to secure housing. It was not an option for him to move out of the area because the case was ongoing and the children and he were required to be participating in other services that were right in the local community. So that restricted him significantly as well. In addition, it is part of the record that he was specifically told throughout the underlying CHIPS case that he could not render mom homeless, or that he couldn't do anything that rendered the mother homeless. And that made it even more difficult for him, because if he were, for example, to try to have mother removed or evicted, he would then be violating a different part of the case plan, which was to not have either of the parents homeless. He did, however, contact law enforcement at one point and try to have mom removed from the home and say that I don't want her here anymore, and was told there's nothing we can do about it. She's on the lease. She's allowed to live here. We can't remove her. So while I understand that the county made efforts for housing for mother too, when mother was refusing to leave and the county was unable to effectuate mother leaving the property, the only option that father had at that point was for he himself to leave. But again, he was much more restricted because he had the seven children.
When father contacted the police, was that in July of 2020?
It was in July of 2020.
And the initial order for father and mother to be living separately was around September 2019, correct?
That is correct. At that point in July of 2020, father realized that other efforts, including his own hope that mother would follow through with her word and remove herself, move out of the property, were certainly not working, and that he needed to do something different. So at that point he did. But of course, as the court is aware, reasonable efforts are required all the way up to the time of termination. And at the time of the trial, the district court is to look at the facts as they set at the time of the trial. And that was still several months prior to the trial.
Thank you for that clarification. Counsel for respondent, you can proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors, and good morning. My name is Ben Olson. I represent the respondent, Otter Tail County. I feel like I should start by making what I consider to be a few clarifications of what the record does and does not contain. It was asked whether the record contains evidence that there's a lack of housing in the Fergus Falls area. From my perspective, that is not in the record. We know Fergus Falls and its characteristics, but that's basically all that would be in the record. No one presented evidence that there's a lack of rentable properties in Fergus Falls or anything of that nature. The only thing that is in the record that relates to Mr. Holmes' difficulty finding housing is his own testimony. He said he had difficulty finding housing, or it took him a while to do so, and in part because of the pandemic and in part because of his limited financial resources. But the district court made a specific credibility determination about that testimony, and that's outlined in a specific, I believe, a conclusion of law, basically stating that the court didn't find that claim to be credible. It was also asked whether there are other housing agencies in the Fergus Falls area that could have helped resolve the parents' housing issue. There is no specific housing agency. There is family resource worker services. Those were offered, and there is evidence that family resource worker worked with the parents to try to brainstorm and resolve the housing issue. And there is evidence that the agency offered and that Mr. Holmes took advantage of transportation services. Another thing I want to point out.
Mr. Olson, just to follow up on the transportation services, does the record reflect that those services were limited in any way, that they weren't available to husband, that they were only available, or not husband, but father, they weren't available to father, they were only available to mother? I thought that Ms. Sansala suggested that they were made available to mother, but maybe not to father.
I don't believe that that's an accurate reflection of the record. I believe what the record would reflect is that Mr. Holmes relied on Ms. Belleville for transportation for basically the first half of the case, I think, until sometime in the spring or summer of 2020.
If I could counsel and interject that there are obviously names in the record, but because it's a child protection matter, we don't use names in our decision. So because it's a public hearing, I would just remind you to be cautious when you describe the parties.
I will certainly do that, and I apologize to the court for that.
What
I believe the record would reflect is that appellant relied on the children's mother until sometime in the either late spring or early summer of 2020. And at that point, the agency started giving appellant directives. Essentially, you need to find independent transportation so that you can start to become independent of the children's mother. And at that point, the agency offered these transportation services. And there was, I think, the case manager, Mr. Larson, testified there was some mix-ups early on. Essentially, there has to be a certain number of days notice so that the agency can make arrangements to get a volunteer driver. But other than that, at some point, the services were up and running and appellant did take advantage of them. With regard to the date, the appellant contacted law enforcement to get assistance moving Miss, the children's mother, out of the home. That was actually in September of 2020. And then it was asserted that the case plan prevented the appellant from rendering the children's mother homeless. And that's just not accurate. The condition that the children's mother not be homeless was in the case plan, but there is nothing that said appellant's actions could not render her homeless. The reason that was in the case plan was so that there was some assurance that the children's mother had a secure residence and wasn't going to be coming back to stay at the home informally whenever she needed to do so.
Mr. Olson, is there evidence in the record that the county continued to make efforts to assist father with housing after September 2020 and prior to the trial?
So the district court made findings that the agency made the referral to Mojave Ottawa, which is the housing service agency, made referrals to family resource worker, and that those services were up and running basically through July of 2020. And up until that point, the appellant essentially refused to consider moving out. He was relying on the children's mother to do that. And then in July of 2020, the children's mother stated to the court and the appellant stated to the court for the first time that she had moved out. And so everyone was operating under this assumption. The agency was making efforts to confirm that until September 9th, I believe it was, when the appellant contacted the family resource worker and 2 days later, his case manager to say that the children's mother was back. And so to your question, were there efforts from that very point forward? There would have been family resource worker services in place. And there were discussions at that point between appellant and his case manager that he was making efforts to identify these new housing options, that he had identified a couple and that he had planned to move into them basically by the time the trial had started or ended. But by the time we got to the second day of trial, appellant conceded that none of those things had taken place. So affirmative efforts other than the referral to the housing agency, the family resource workers efforts, and just general case management efforts, communication with the appellant and things like that, no. And while we're on that topic, I think I'll address the questions that the court has raised. What other efforts could have been made or what should have been done in addition to what the agency did do? And in hindsight, the only thing the parties can identify is, well, a case manager could have sat down with the appellant and, you know, on a periodic basis, helped him identify housing options and help him apply for them or somehow secure them. And I think, you know, that could have been offered. I'll concede that. But what I think is more important is that the record reflects that there is a very low probability that would have had any meaningful impact on the case. And the district court made that finding that there were no additional efforts the agency could have provided that would have made a meaningful impact. And that was because the appellant was refusing to really take any action on the case until the fall of 2020, which is a year after the children were removed and after the children's mother had either stayed in the home or returned home and began selling drugs and acting crazy out of the basement portion of the duplex. And so I'll move on to just kind of responding to the appellant's claims in general. He makes two general claims regarding the sufficiency of the findings of fact. I think the court has identified the difference between those. The first one is that the district court did not make findings of fact. It regurgitated trial testimony. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on that issue. I'll just reiterate from our perspective, any deficiency that there is remedied in the conclusions of law section. In that section, there are affirmative determinations of fact, and there's discussion about testimony, what was more credible and why. And I think that's all that's required for appropriate or appellate review. The second general claim regarding the district court's findings of fact relates to the district court's best interest analysis. Appellant claims that the district court did not make specific enough findings of fact that relate to each individual child and each individual child's best interests. And I assert that that claim is directly contradicted by the district court's order itself. The district court made specific findings of fact as to each individual child's medical needs, dental needs, educational needs, mental health needs. And the district court also made specific findings of fact as to specific children's relationships with the appellant. There were two that were identified that were problematic. The district court also made general findings of fact that applied to all of the children. And I think that those are far more important in this particular case because the court terminated appellant's parental rights for reasons that applied to all the children, not specific children. First and foremost, the safety issue that the children's mother presented. That wasn't a concern that affected a five-year-old differently than a 17-year-old. And I think that's evidenced by the record. There was an incident 2 weeks after the children returned to Minnesota and moved in with their mother that a 14, 15-year-old child was involved in a near-fatal car accident. It wasn't a 7-year-old that was at risk. The court found that all of the children have varying levels of mental health issues and that those issues were caused by their upbringing as opposed to their placement in foster care. The district court found that all of the children had been neglected, and particularly while they were in the state of Missouri with the children's father, the appellant. The district court found that the appellant is unable to identify and prioritize all of the children's needs. And the district court found that none of the children had a healthy attachment relationship with the appellant. The district court made all of these findings specific and general to the sibling group through the best interest factors that the court has to apply. And for those reasons, we believe that they're more than sufficient. Then there are two specific challenges to findings of fact. Appellant argues that two findings of fact are clearly erroneous. Appellant claims that it was clear error for the district court to find that the parents were given options and solutions to resolve their housing situation, but failed to implement them. Appellant also claims it was a clear error for the district court to find that there were no additional services or level of efforts agency could have provided to remedy the housing situation. And from our perspective, both of those findings are supported by the record. We'll take them one at a time. Regarding the options and solutions that were given to the parents, the agency made two safety plans, an oral safety plan that was designed to prevent removal. And that plan required only two things: no unsupervised contact between mom and the children, and mom needs to move out by a certain date. The agency was flexible with the mother. She said, you know, I can't do this in this amount of time. I don't have the resources. And the agency responded to that by temporarily approving her to move downstairs and giving her a little more time to accomplish that task. But the parents did not respond or follow the case plan. Appellant allowed unsupervised contact on more than one occasion, and that was the reason the children were removed. And when the children were removed, agency staff were at the home and they did not observe any evidence that the mother had made any efforts to move downstairs or anywhere else.
Would you agree that since this is an appeal from father, that whatever mother's efforts were to leave the home aren't really significant? What matters is whether he had the authority to require her to leave the home. And I gather you would concede that he did not have that authority under the legal limits he had. He couldn't evict her. And so we really have to look at what he did, not what she did or failed to do. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree completely. And that's really the theme of our response, is that, you know, the agency made efforts to help the children's mother move out of the residence, but that wasn't required necessarily. What we need to look at is whether the appellant took affirmative action to resolve the housing situation. The parents were given options to accomplish that end goal. One was for the children's mother to take affirmative action.
Well, but you keep referring to the parents and their failure, but we have to limit ourselves to whatever failure he demonstrated, right?
Right. And my point is that the case plan built in a contingency, and that if Ms. Bevel did not the children's mother did not find her own residence. It was on the children's father, the appellant, to take affirmative action to resolve the situation. And our point in our argument is that he did not do that until at the very earliest September 2020. He instead relied on the children's mother to solve the problem, even though he recognized throughout the case really that she was having difficulty resolving the problem on her own because of her criminal history and things like that. Yet again, there was no action. And that was what the district court was concerned about. Was
you mentioned earlier that the record doesn't show the unavailability of housing. Does the record show the availability of housing for him?
You know, I'll concede that the agency did not present evidence that, you know, there were 10 rental homes in the area that were suitable. The record would reflect that the agency didn't require. It's alleged that, you know, it would have been very difficult for him to find a home that would have been suitable for all these children. But the record shows that the agency was only expecting him to find a 3 or 4 bedroom home. We weren't expecting him to find a 10 bedroom home, you know, that all the children had a residence. So I don't know that there isn't specific evidence in the record that there was a housing option available that he failed to take advantage of. But the record does, I believe, clearly show that he failed to make attempts to find one or any housing situation that would have been appropriate. I'm running out of time. I've only got about 20 seconds left. So if the panel has any more specific questions, I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, I will leave it at that.
Doesn't look like there are any further questions. So thank you, Mr. Olson, for your argument and your answers to our questions. Ms. Sansala, you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you. As Mr. Olson conceded, there's not any evidence in the record that there were proactive steps taken to actually assist Ms. Appellant in finding an appropriate house outside of the home that he was living in. It's also important to note that, as Mr. Olson stated, there weren't efforts by the county from July of 2020, and certainly not from September of 2020 on, regarding the housing matter. Essentially, the same efforts that were made in the beginning by the county or by the agency, which was not efforts, but rather a mandate, move to a different place, find different housing, and here's two potential resources or one potential resource, but you don't really qualify for either one of them. That's all that was offered, and that was early on, and then there weren't any additional efforts throughout the next year, and certainly not in July, August, September, leading up to the termination trial.
Do you concede that the record does not indicate the unavailability of suitable housing? I mean, you made the argument. I mean, I don't know if it's just anecdotal or you're asking us to take judicial notice of it, but you make the argument that, well, there's COVID, there's not housing available, there's a large family, suggesting that he would not have been able on his own to find other housing. But my question is, does the record support that? And if not, doesn't it need to?
I understand the question. I would say that the trial transcript does support that there was testimony by appellant himself as to the difficulties that he had in looking for and trying to find suitable housing. And then there is also,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Judge Carr.
You go ahead, Judge Rush. I think we were probably going to ask the same question.
What specifically is the testimony that would support the assumption that you're asking us to make that he needed assistance, that there wasn't available housing that he could have found on his own had he taken the initiative as requested?
And I apologize. I thought that you were asking whether he testified that he couldn't find available housing. And I believe he did testify to that. But whether or not he specifically requested assistance is the question. I don't believe that there's evidence in the record.
No, my question goes to the availability of housing. Is there testimony, the unavailability, is there testimony or something in the record that would help us to adopt your view that he needed extra assistance because on his own, there was not housing available to him because of the size of his family, because of his means? Is there anything in the record that supports it? And if so, what specifically is it?
It would be the testimony during trial of appellant himself. And that would be the testimony that he was having difficulty finding housing. And also the orders throughout the CHIPS case, which the court did take judicial notice of, that show that the housing issue had not been resolved. So the fact that it hadn't been resolved, clearly the record supports that it's a large family. Clearly the record supports that he was in an appropriate home, but for the presence of the mother, and that the mother was not leaving and was refusing to leave. So as far as direct evidence where somebody saying, this is what I need, or this is what the county should have done, I don't believe that the record supports that. But I think it's inherent in the orders and in the case plan, and in the record as a whole, that if he was required, which he clearly was, to find alternate housing, then efforts, reasonable efforts, would need to be made to assist that and to facilitate that. I think the case law and the statutes are clear that it is the county's duty not to offer the help and to put the help out there and make it available, make those services available. It's not the appellant's duty to ask for help or to say, this is what I need assistance with. Based on the very nature of child protection matters, oftentimes the parents aren't in the position to necessarily recognize what they need assistance with. And that is the point of having the county involved and having a case plan and having the requirement for reasonable efforts, that the county has to step in and say, here's what needs to happen and here are some ways to accomplish that, rather than saying we're going to wait until the parents ask for help or specifically seek a particular service before we offer it to them.
Sansala, I understand your point about, you know, that the parents might not ask for help and that the county should be proactive. But here, I think the judge made a credibility determination that father had represented at prior hearings that mother was going to move out or mother had moved out, and that wasn't the case. So given that credibility determination, is there any other evidence you can point to in the record other than father just saying he attempted to look for housing but didn't find it? Is there any other evidence regarding the house? Is there any evidence regarding the housing market itself? I think you said there isn't, but given the district court judge's credibility determinations about father's testimony on housing, you know, how can we find that the district court abused its discretion in concluding that the efforts here weren't reasonable?
I believe that
that the efforts here weren't reasonable, but that the county made reasonable efforts in light of the unique situation here.
I would say that the record doesn't support what those efforts would have been or are. So there is the finding that reasonable efforts were made by the county. But when we look at what specifically the county did as it related to this housing issue, which was really the primary issue, there was very little done. There was just referrals made to a housing agency for which my client didn't qualify. There was nothing more. So I don't think that I think that the findings say, yes, they made reasonable efforts, but there's not, the record doesn't support that those efforts were actually made. And again, that the county was proactive in coming up with solutions to offer father, per Mr. Olson's own concession, that the county could have done more, such as looking for housing with him, sitting down, having meetings with him periodically, actually seeing what was out there in the community, and essentially walking through with him and saying, here's a housing option that is available, and we would suggest that you apply for it. So it's the lack of detail in the record, rather than just the overall conclusion that reasonable efforts were made.
Thank you very much. Did you want to briefly conclude? Or
I would just briefly conclude and ask the court respectfully to overturn the termination of parental rights based on a lack of reasonable efforts on the part of the agency to provide substantive assistance to appellant to really resolve the issue that led to the out-of-home placement in a meaningful way that would truly provide assistance rather than just looking like it was providing assistance on paper. Obviously, termination of parental rights is the most serious thing, the most serious outcome that it can occur in any child protection matter. And it's troublesome that the county failed to very proactively assist Mr. Holmes when that particular issue was the paramount issue in the case. Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel for your helpful arguments and answers to our questions. We will consider the matter carefully and issue our opinion within the expedited statutory timeframe.